CGTV.
Test one. Do you remember that verse I shared with you yesterday from Romans chapter 12, verse 16? Be mutually disposed to one another, not being disposed to that which is high, but being led away to the humble. I think I included verse 15, rejoicing with those rejoicing, lamenting with those lamenting. But verse 14 is the verse I want to enter into our discussion today with, and that is, bless those who are persecuting you. Bless and do not curse. Ooh, that's a tall order. What that does is tap into the topic of love, of agape love. And the love we're going to talk about today is not a feeling and not an emotion. It is a gift of God. In fact, it's the first fruit of the Spirit. I'm Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. But look at this. Bless those who are persecuting. Bless, do not curse. Now I want to jump to Acts chapter 9, verse 4, the account of Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus, which I also referenced yesterday, and falling on the earth. He, Saul, hears a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Yet he said, Who art thou, Lord? Yet he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Twice within two verses, it is stated that Paul was persecuting Jesus Christ. And yet, what did we just read? Bless those who are persecuting you. Paul wrote that. Where did Paul learn that lesson? He was being blessed by the very one he was persecuting. Does God live by his own principles? I think so. I know so. Paul has become here the first member of the body of Christ, promised blessings far above anything he was trying to obtain in Judaism. Seated among the celestials in Christ, while in the midst of persecuting the very one who is now showering him. As Paul says later in 1 Timothy, the grace of God overwhelmed me. Overwhelmed who? The one who was persecuting the grace giver. The lesson here is that God follows his own principles. He's the author of these things, and we are able to do these things as the Spirit of God makes its home in us. This is not beyond human capability to bless those who are persecuting you. And this taps in to one of the greatest words in the Scripture, which is love. Paul says, if I know all secrets, but if I don't have love, then I'm a clanging gong. And there I am going back to the NASB. I learned that verse in the NASB version. Love that verse. I forget what the concordance says there. But love is the all-important thing. Love is the thing that endures. And this, the love of God, the love shown by Christ to the very man persecuting him, rabidly persecuting him and his followers, that Greek word is agape. There's another Greek word that's probably in the King James Version is also translated love, but it's a completely different Greek word, philia. In the Concordant Version, it's translated fondness. Philia, it's the root word actually for Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Have you been to Philadelphia lately? don't look too hard for brotherly love there. But anyway, I digress. Filio is a lame word compared to agape, because filio is a fondness you have for someone based on their character. You're fond of someone who treats you well. You're fond of someone who's a decent all-around person. So it is not unconditional. In fact, just take the un out in front of that word. It is conditional love. And that's what religionists have in their mind when they say love. They don't mean agape. They think they do. But their love is based on the object of their supposed love being worthy of it. Because I mean, these people, these who call themselves Christians, I have personal testimony concerning this. I'm not going to give it to you today, but they will turn on you so quickly. In fact, I hardly know anyone who understands agape love. Agape love is truly unconditional love. It loves because that's what it is. It doesn't expect anything in return, and it doesn't expect its object to be worthy. This kind of love is so rare. In fact, I was even talking to my landlady a couple years ago. I might have shared this with you, but I was talking to her about the love of God and how we are to love our enemies, to love those who are persecuting us, love those who are hating us. And it's like she had never heard of this concept in her life. She looked at me like I was crazy, like I was drunk. What's this man talking about? Why would you love somebody who's hateful? I think they were having some family issues, and there was someone who was mad at someone because of some money issue, and then they just refused to talk to one another. This is universal. Universally bad. It's universally bad that when somebody suddenly does something you don't like, they're done. They're done. This is evil. And I have been on the receiving end of filio love that was disguised as agape love. I've had people pledge love to me. And in my naivete, thinking that it was agape love. It was claimed to be agape love. But it wasn't. Because as soon as this person, these individuals became disgruntled in some way, whether real or imagined, then boom, they turn and they're gone. What happened to love? It wasn't love. It wasn't the love of God. It was filio. It was a conditional love. But what irritates me, it's fine. Okay, conditional love, okay. I mean, it's not fine, but it is a thing. And it's mentioned in the scriptures. People are fond of one another. You'll find that word, filio, in the scriptures. It is a thing. But for the love of God, literally, for the love of God, don't disguise it as agape love. Don't come across all godly. Don't take a vow in front of God and Christ to promise someone to love them. And I always liked those phrases in a marriage vow, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer. And I especially love that part, till death do us part. It's like, okay, now we're talking. This is sterling, man. This is the real deal. This is agape love. It loves no matter what. And when, let's say, two people have this love toward one another, then there's no stopping it. And it is such a beautiful thing, because agape love sticks. Agape love stays, and it does not run away from sickness or poverty or anything else that might ruffle its feathers. But today, oh no, no. If you get your feathers ruffled, you're done. You're done. And if you're with such a person, you're tempted to walk on eggshells. Filial love is a love, I can't even call it filial love, filial fondness is an emotion. Indeed, it is an emotion. Agape love is not an emotion, But this emotion causes people to walk on eggshells. Don't you hate it when you're in a relationship, either a marriage or a friendship, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, where you have to be careful, can't say the wrong things, you must constantly be deferential. Not that we shouldn't be deferential, but you're doing it to save the relationship, to save the friendship. You have to do it because the other person does not love you. Because you know that they're a ruffled feather away from leaving you. You tiptoe and tiptoe around, but this is not a healthy love. It's at best a friendship. It's not that much of a friendship either, because friends stick. It's so interesting that people of the world who don't know anything about God, some of them are more true than so-called believers are, because they instinctively recognize God's love, that is agape love, which loves because that's what it is. Let me more deeply define agape love. It loves because it is love. It can't help but love. It radiates and it covers. The love of Christ for Saul on the road to Damascus, that's agape love. Obviously, it doesn't consider the worthiness of its object because its object on that day was persecuting it. The one who was sending forth agape love was being persecuted by the person receiving the love. But the beautiful thing about agape love is it cannot be denied. That is the, if I can say it this way, the magic of it. That's the glory of it. Isn't it interesting unrequited love. Yes. Isn't it interesting that we have phrases like kill them with kindness or love them to death? This is the cure for unrequited love. And I know some of you have experienced it. It's a terrible feeling. It's awful. You're not getting back what you give to the person. And when you are thus frustrated, there is a cure. And the cure is agape love, because it can't be denied. Filial love can be rejected, can be denied, but agape love can never be denied. It still hurts to not get it back. Of course it does. And everybody has suffered this at one time or another. But I'm telling you, there is such a comfort in having this love of God in your heart. Because even if the object of your affection is far away, and sometimes people in the same room can be far away, even then, the love goes forth. This is why Peter and Paul also says that those who are, for instance, joined to unbelievers, they can bless that unbeliever by showing agape love by their behavior. And the behavior being referred to there by Peter and Paul can be none other than agape love, a behavior that is motivated by this love that will endure all. Paul even says that there's a perfect thing there in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Paul says, love is enduring all. I've gone through those verses many times. And every now and then I have to talk about love because it's one of my favorite things. Because, again, it is undeniable. And even if the person tries to deny it, it doesn't work. Because I'm telling you, this kind of love thrives in being denied. I mean, it's a terrible thing, and it does cause pain, but the pain is ameliorated by the knowledge that you, being the better person, the person with the Spirit of God, and the first fruit of the Spirit is love. You are sending out. And it sounds kind of like a Pentecostal term or a Pentecostal concept, but this is true. You're sending out that love to the person that doesn't recognize it, is ignoring it, going about their business, doesn't understand it, or doesn't requite it, and yet you are sending it out toward that person, and it is as real as grace. We talk about grace being an invisible thing, and yet the effect it has on it when we contemplate it, it causes us to do the right things, causes us to love God even more when he's gracious to us no matter what we do. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the same thing with love. This is a real power. Even though it's invisible, it's real. I mean, bless those who are persecuting you. Can you imagine doing something nice for a person who's persecuting you? Exactly what Jesus did for Paul. If you want love to be requited that isn't now requited, then love the unlovable. And if you're able to, if you're in the vicinity, bless someone who is cursing you or persecuting you. Paul says in another place, I think it's Romans, right there in Romans 12, when he's talking about rendering good for evil. Yes, Romans 12:20. But if your enemy should be hungering, give him the morsel. If he should be thirsting, give him to drink. For in doing this, you will be heaping embers of fire upon his head. Oh, I love this. This is violent love. It's violent love. It's killing them with kindness. Loving them to death. You're making them feel like shit. That's the goal here with agape love. You see what I mean? It's satisfying. This is what Paul means. I've heard different interpretations of this, how in Bible days they used to carry coal on their heads to warm their homes. And if you put coal on their little tray while they're, it's so convoluted. It's just, no, that is absolutely, forget that. That's, you'll be causing them, hard to say this, but it's true. You'll be causing them pain. It's almost like your way of getting back at the unloving person. This is your way of getting back at them. You want revenge? Kill them with kindness. That's true revenge, because what is going to happen is you will be heaping embers of fire. It's a concordant version here. In doing this, Paul says, that is giving your hungering enemy the morsel or your thirsting enemy the drink. In doing this, you will be heaping embers of fire on his head. Not literally, of course, this is figurative language for making that person feel like shit. That's what you want. You want them to feel like shit, don't you? But what's the best way to make them feel like shit? The best way? Do something nice to them. Oh, it's devastating. Devastating. I try to do it every chance I get. I'm not perfect. I haven't perfected this. But I've used it many times. And again, it works best if you can actually hand this terrible person something. Bless your enemy. Isn't that an amazing concept? That's agape love. That's the love of God. That wins friends and influences people. None of this turning and running at the first sign of trouble. What the hell are these marriage vows for anyway? Sickness and in health. Nobody means it. Crazy people. When I say it, I mean it. Never met anyone yet that meant it. Till death do us part. I'm still alive. You know how it goes. Many of you know how it goes. But we don't have to be helpless victims here. We should never walk about as victims, because we're not. Instead, we take the offensive. We take the offensive by not being offensive. We take the offensive by loving the unlovable. That is a God thing.